Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. My co-host David Todd is at training camp today. He's doing work for ESPN 970, and he was with me this morning on the Terrible Podcast, and you can listen to that that episode that was posted earlier today. And as we're due every day during a training camp, if you've been a longtime listener of this show and reader of Steelers Depot, you know that we like to have interaction with fans that actually make it out to Latrobe and get fans' perspective on what they see. And today, I had put out a call out on Twitter and on Steelers Depot of any fans out there, and Jerry got a hold of me, and Jerry was at practice today. She is a longtime Steelers fan. I believe she's a very active member on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette forum, the Insiders forum over there. So, Jerry, welcome to the Terrible Podcast. Thanks for taking the time out of your evening.
That's no problem, Dave.
Jerry, let's start off with you said that you mostly observed the offense today from where you were sitting, and also what we'll do is we'll open up, and I'm just going to let you walk me through kind of what you observed, and I might throw in a question along the way there. So let's start with what you observed on offense today.
Well, what I observed was a lot of short dump-off passes to both tight ends and running backs. There was actually only one deep ball thrown all day. That went from Ben to Antonio Brown. Actually, he missed it. He dropped it. But otherwise, that Chris Rainey is going to be a beast. He is a burner. I could not – they were doing the running back drills. All the running backs together with the football, and they were trying to sort of like knock the ball out of his hands while he was running, going through the, I don't know if they're pylons or these long strips. And all the other running backs, it was Isaac Redman, Dwyer, and so forth, was there. When Rainey went, he burnt. I mean, he has some speed. He is going to be, if he pans out, he is going to be a weapon.
And I understand they lined him up a little bit more in the slot today, too, kind of lined out
yes.
wide.
Yes, both sides, on the left and the right side, yes. He ran some slants, and they were running a lot of two running backs in the backfield, too.
Okay, now by two running backs, do you mean maybe a fullback with them, or were they running like Batch and Rainey together, or Dwyer?
Yeah, it was more Redman and Rainey together on each side of Ben.
That's interesting, because I've theorized through the offseason, ever since Todd Haley has come aboard and ever since they drafted Rainey, that we could see more of what they kind of call a rocket backfield like that. And that's exactly kind of what that is. Instead of putting a fullback back there, you have a regular running back and sometimes a fullback and sometimes a player like either Barron, Batch, and Rainey. So that's good information because, I mean, let's face it, Rainey in his smallish size, he's not going to be a durable guy to handle the full load of running in between the tackles. But what he will give you is the ability to, you know, put him in motion outside or keep him in the backfield, a pitch or something, and occasionally run him up the middle as well, too, and the same with Barron, Batch. So that's interesting that you note that we're seeing a lot of two running backs in the backfield.
Well, then also, too, I mean, it was the 11-11 on 11-11 drill, and Ben sort of faked it to number 33, and we all in the stands thought that number 33 had it, but actually Ben threw it and hit Antonio Brown. It was a great play. I mean, the whole place ignited with that. Haley, I noticed, too, he is a very hands-on type of like a teacher somewhat or a tutorial he was doing. He threw his hat down on the field at one time, and he had the wide receivers, the quarterbacks were thrown to the wide receivers, and he threw his hat down on the field, and those wide receivers had to go to this hat and make their cuts and then go to, you know, out routes or post or, you know, down the sideline or whatever. And he was very, very specific. You do this, you know, and they were doing it. And there's a lot of Ben getting the ball. It's 1, 2, 3 steps and the ball's out. I didn't see very many, like, 5-step drops, 7-step drops. It was mostly, you know, Ben would get the snap. He'd get, you know, it was a lot of shotgun. I didn't see Ben too much under center. It was mostly a lot of shotgun formations. They were working on the no huddle, which is, I think, is kind of interesting because I didn't know whether Haley was the type that would run a no huddle, but they did a lot of no huddle today.
And they had kind of, the media kind of alerted us of that on Twitter that Haley said that they were going to work on that today prior to practice. And, you know, that's something last year. Ben's always been an advocate underneath Bruce Arians of wanting to run that no huddle more. But really, Arians had kind of had to clamp on him on that. One thing that I thought, too, that I thought I'd heard, and maybe you can confirm this, was Ben sort of in that hurry-up offense, was he able to call, you know, rattle off his own plays, or did you kind of see some direction coming in play-wise from Haley?
Well, there was a little bit of both. All the quarterbacks, and I like to talk a little bit about this, Jarrett Johnson, too. I think if they work with him, he is going to be a very durable backup. I mean, his passes, he was threading needles into double coverage, and he was completing them. And this was going against the number one offense, or defense, I'm sorry. But a lot of it that Haley was doing is he had a sheet. And I don't know, you know, I guess they were plays and app on him, but he was, it didn't matter which quarterback it was, whether it was Ben, Charlie Batch, Leftwich, or this Jarrett Johnson, he would tell them, you know, he would say something to them, and yeah, the quarterbacks would look over the formation, you know, Ben would make the adjustments at the line, and then he would run the play. And he, after every play was over, he would go to the quarterback, whichever one it was, and he would discuss it. Now, I've been going to training camp for years, and I remember watching Arians, and Arians would just basically stand there. He would not, I don't know what's the word for it, teach, interact. He would yell at times, but nothing like Haley. And I, myself, I'd be the first one to admit, and I even probably wrote on the PG Plus website, or the sound off board, that I was kind of disappointed that they did hire Haley as the OC. But after seeing practice today, my mind has totally changed on that. I think he's going to be very good for the Steelers.
And, you know, interesting, you mentioned Jarrett Johnson, the kid out of Texas A&M. This is a kid that was at one time in his junior season. You know, they were talking about this kid as a Heisman Trophy candidate. Then, of course, he had his shoulder kind of a shoulder problem, and then it kind of carried over into his senior year. And he had a couple of rough games his senior year at A&M, and then, of course, Ryan Tannehill ended up passing him on a depth chart, and Johnson didn't get his spot back. And then last year when Johnson went undrafted, spent a little bit of time with the Eagles, he struggled with his arm strength and his accuracy last year, but I've heard reports that he has worked on that quite a bit with a former Texas A&M quarterback coach down in Texas. So you're seeing a strong arm kid there that's fairly accurate in Johnson there.
Well, like I said, this is my opinion. I was sitting next to a gentleman that I guess he's been at more than one practice this year, and he said that he had sort of like maybe a bad day on Saturday, and the defense was sort of getting after him a little bit, and, you know, when he was under pressure. But what I seen today, I mean, and the gentleman on the other side of me agreed with me. He said they think that, you know, the guy that was sitting next to him on the other side of me, he said, I think they need to get rid of either Charlie Batch or Leftwich and have him back up Ben. That's how impressive that he was, I mean, to the people that I was sitting around.
And, you know, the good thing about it, though, is if they need to, I think Jarrett Johnson would clear waivers, you know, that you could always stash him on a practice squad for a year or two. So, you know, that's always a possibility.
And I did notice the offensive line, they were shuffling positions. But, you know, you always hear Mike Tomlin talk about position flexibility. And at one point, our number one draft pick, David DeCastro, was a center. He was snapping. He was snapping with the second team. I think, from what I can remember of my notes, I think he did it for a couple series on with the first team, too. They were switching Dark Ligurski in and out of center with Marquise Pouncey. I believe our O-line is going to be much improved over the past years. Trey Essex was playing left tackle. Willie Colon was in there at guard. David DeCastro was in a guard. And then, of course, Mike Adams. Now, he is a huge, huge man. I think both DeCastro and Adams, I believe by the time preseason is over with, in my opinion, like I said, this is just my opinion. I'm not a coach. I'm just a fan. I believe they are going to be starters on our own line.
And I think I heard today, too, now, did Gilbert get snaps at both left tackle and right tackle? And another thing I think I heard was Ramon Foster took quite a few snaps at right tackle today.
Yes, he did. Yeah, Ramon Foster was in there. I didn't really notice too much of Gilbert, but there again, I might have been watching something else at the time. But I do know Trey Essex played, you know, some left tackle. Now, I know that Max Starks is on the PUP list, so, you know, I don't know what's going to happen once he comes off of that. But then there was a very heated skirmish between the wide receivers and the D-backs. Ryan Clark was in on it. He was very animate. There was Emmanuel Sanders and I'm trying to think, number 41 on the defense. I can't remember. He was, that there was three of them. They were, I mean, and it got to the point where it was, there was a group of them. They were starting to throw punches and so forth.
I think one of them was Andre Goodman, back there from Slippery Rock.
Yes, that's who it was, yes. And, I mean, it was really heated, you know. And now Emmanuel Sanders, if he could stay healthy, he's going to be very good. He has some speed, too. And if Wallace doesn't show up to week 11, I don't think we're going to miss him too much, as long as the right receivers that we have right now, as far as Cotchery, Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, and there was another one there. I can't remember what his name was. They were very good.
And that's one thing we've kind of talked about on the podcast this morning. No one really has stepped out of that number five position, that fifth wide receiver spot between like Tony Clemens and Marquise Mays, the little guy out of Alabama. But I saw Marquise Mays' name mentioned quite a bit today on Twitter. Now, he is undersized, but he keeps making the catches from what I understand.
He made a lot of sideline catches. Now, as far as Tony Clemens, he dropped a couple of them.
Wow.
Yes, and the gentleman that was sitting there, you know, he's been in a number of practices, I guess, since training camp started, and he says he's having a pretty rough camp. So, and like I said, I was only there today. I don't know, you know, what the practices look like on Saturday and Sunday, but from what I observed, I mean, of the offense, now the defense was in that middle field, and I really didn't get a chance to really pay attention to them. The defense, it was when it was the 11 on 11, 7 on 7. The running backs, they didn't do the backers on back, backs on backers today. They didn't do that. But I noticed that a lot, they were trying to incorporate, Haley was trying to incorporate a lot of the tight ends and the running backs coming out of the backfield to catch balls on these short stunts. They were, they were trying to, I guess, take advantage of the middle of the field. And they were using a lot of the backs and the tight ends. The one tight end, I think his number is number 46. He's going to make the team. There again, I'm just a casual fan, but
you mean little Will, I mean, I shouldn't say little, Will Johnson.
No, David Paulson. I'm sorry. That out of Oregon. He was the rookie.
Oh, 48, David Paulson. Okay.
48, yes. Now, they were throwing a lot to Leonard Pope, too, but this Paulson, he really impressed me. I know he's a big guy. He's like 6'4", 6'5", something like that. And he was hitting those tackling dummies like crazy. He was really knocking them off. He reminds me of Heath Miller. And, you know, he can catch the ball and he can block.
And the good thing about Paulson, too, because, you know, Wesley Saunders, unless he gets that suspension shortened, he's going to start off on the reserve suspended list to start the season. So we're looking at probably Heath Miller, Leonard Pope, and probably one other tight end. So, you know, it very well could be. And really, David Paulson, we have not heard his name too much in any of the reports. So really, you're the first really to give us a pretty good some feedback on David Paulson there. And that's definitely a kid that I plan on watching quite a bit in the preseason games once they get going here. So that's good info on him. Heath Miller finally crept back on that field today after that ankle injury of his.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. He was not limping or anything like that. He was doing the drills. He was hitting the tackling thing where they hit him and they push him. You know, in fact,
right.
Tomlin was there observing them when they were doing all the tight ends. And they between Paulson and Heath Miller, and then, well, of course, there was Leonard Pope was there, David Johnson, you know, but I think they're using David Johnson more as a fullback, am I correct?
Right.
What I observed.
Right,
know?
And Will Johnson, too.
Yes. And one other thing that I've noticed, too, they have a new punter. His name is Drew Butler out of Georgia.
Right.
He was booming them 50-some yards.
Did you see any inconsistency with him, though? That's a few of the reports I've heard that he's got a booming leg, and the report on him out of college was kind of he has such a good leg, he just can't control it sometimes. Would you?
Well, you know, some of his punts, it was sort of like if it was Sepulveda back there kicking, you know, because, you know, when he would kick the ball would go end over end, sideways, whatever. But he had a most of his, like, they were kicking, they were spotting the ball, I think, at the 35-yard line, or the 30-yard line. I'm not sure. My notes are kind of scribbly here. But he was booming them down to, like, the other side, to the 10 and 15-yard lines, and that's where Rainey was actually doing the return. And the thing is, with Rainey, you get him in the open field, and he's going to be dangerous. Because that guy, I mean, I have seen running back. I remember watching Willie Parker when he first came to the Steelers. He's faster than Willie Parker, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, this kid, 4.2, 4.3 speed, mm-hmm. He's a little burnt. And he is, you know, you remember how last year Baron Batch at the beginning of training camp, Baron Batch was everybody's darling. And, you know, it usually seems to be some of these young late-round running backs, really. I think even a couple training camps before that, everybody was on the Frank Summers bandwagon.
Yes, Frank the Tank, yes.
Yeah. And, but Rainey, he's for real. And he is a guy. Now, at the first of the year, I don't expect him, you know, I expect the ball in his hand probably 5 times a game, you know, 5 to 7 times a game. And then, you know, as the season progresses, you know, maybe 8 or 9 touches a game. But he's a classic Dexter McCluster type player for the Chiefs, and that's kind of the way, you know, Todd Haley used him over the Dexter McCluster over at Kansas City. So, you know, go ahead and write the name of Chris Rainey down in pink. I mean, in pen on your 50-man roster, because this kid, you know, barring anything unforeseen, I mean, this kid's going to make the 53-man roster for sure.
And you know, speaking of running backs, I mean, Isaac Redman. I mean, he was running, you know, he was running against the first team defense, and we're talking about Brett Kiesel on the D line, Ziggy Hood. He ran right over Ziggy Hood.
Excellent.
I mean, he is running. He is one powerful back, and I mean, the only play that I ever seen them run more than maybe 20 yards is that one long bomb that ran through, and that was almost toward the end of practice. They were used, you know, 3 steps, drop, short, dink, dunk type of thing. So I don't know whether Haley's running sort of like a West Coast type of offense where he's counting on you know, throw in these short passes and then having either the receiver, the running back, tight end, whoever catches the ball to run after the catch to make the necessary yardage. I don't know, but that's what, it was very, very, it was more, I guess the word that I'm looking for today was it was very disciplined.
Gotcha. And you know, you hit a day that all the other practices, for the most part, have really been run-focused, a lot of running. So I think you hit a day where they really were working on the passing game and the no-huddle, as you said, and the hurry-up and all like that. Kind of wrapping you up, Jerry, if I had to say, name me a camp stud and a camp dud for the day.
I would say I would have to go with Chris Rady as the stud. The dud, well, I was not impressed with David Johnson as far as being a fullback. I know he's big, but I wasn't impressed with what I seen with that. But then, you know, who am I?
Hey, your opinion counts. That's why we have you on.
You know.
What about any? Did you get to see any of the field goal work at all?
Yes, I did. Sweetham missed, I think, two of them. I think they were from about 38 yards, somewhere in there, which concerns me. I'm not a big fan of his to begin with. In fact, if it came down to him kicking a field goal for us to go to the Super Bowl or to win the Super Bowl, we're going to be in bad shape.
You know, I have. I told my co-host David Todd on a couple weeks ago on a podcast, I said, you know, because the only other kicker in camp is Danny Ratman right now, and I really don't see Danny Ratman winning the kicking job. And unless they bring in another kicker that's cut from another team during cut-down dates, Swisham's going to be the guy to start the season. But I told David, I said, I'd be surprised if Swisham makes it the entire season on the roster.
Well, the thing is, I mean, this is summer, this is July. The conditions were excellent. What about at Hinesville when the winds are swirling and we have rain and snow and everything else? I mean, I've been there two games where he's missed them. And, I mean, it was to the point last year in that Baltimore home game that Tomlin was afraid to go for it because of the field goal, because he said he wasn't in his range. Had to kick the field goal and made it, the game was over, and Flacco don't drive 92 yards for the winning score. And that's what I see happening again this year. I don't trust him. I don't know why they didn't, they had multiple draft picks. I don't know why they didn't use one or bring in a free agent type of kicker, but I don't think he is the answer. As far as Papineau's and the punters are concerned, I don't have a problem with either this kid from Georgia or Papineau's, but as far as the field goal kicker and kickoffs, I worry about that. That's going to be a weakness, I think, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Jerry, that sounds like you took a lot of notes today, and I certainly appreciate it. We've got listeners, we have listeners in Honduras, England. Boy, we've heard from listeners all over of these things now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you are being heard when this airs a little bit later tonight. You're being heard all over the globe, and I know Steeler Nation appreciates that. And that's the whole thing of these mini podcasts during training camp is to kind of update the fans of what's going on through the eyes of fans and through the eyes of beat writers that we have on these things. So I said,
this is the first time I ever did anything like
this.
Well,
you did great, and I'm going to probably be, I might call on you again sometime during the season.
That's no problem.
And Jerry, I want to thank you for your time tonight, for taking time on a terrible podcast, and we appreciate having you on.
Thank you so much, Dave. Nice talking to you.